Thank you so much, Pastor Aaron. Appreciate that. I'm excited to be here with you all this morning. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I thank you that you are changing atmospheres at home. You're changing atmospheres and you're no respecter. There's no limits, labels, limitations, liabilities. There's nothing that can stop the anointing of what you want to do to speak to hearts and minds. And I believe by faith that people in their homes this morning are going to have a deep and profound encounter with you. Those that know you and those that are about to know you. Those that have been emotionally traumatized and physically afflicted. I thank you, Father, that you can burst through that screen and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it says in your word that you sent your word and healed them. You touched them, you liberated them, and you activated them. I thank you for that in Jesus' name, amen. I wanna start with this thought. It is what it is, but it's not what it was. It is what it is, but it's not what it was. We put a face on the familiar, but God is saying to us, it's time to move forward. I want to talk to you about this word forward. And Jesus was talking to his disciples constantly about the advancement of his kingdom. It says in Isaiah that the kingdom of God is constantly advancing. Of the increase of his peace and his government, there will be no end. It's always increasing. We've been talking to you a lot about waiting. It's appropriate because many of you feel stuck at stay at home, in shelter, in place, whatever we call it, quarantine. And there's a lot of waiting. There's a lot of hurry up and waiting. Pastor Aaron last week brought through a profound message on how to navigate the world that we currently see by pulling on heaven, which is the third realm, and bringing heaven to here in the moment, and doing our warfare in the second realm where what we see, these spiritual realities, the forces of evil and good as they collide. It's learning how to see as God sees in every situation. And I want to start with Luke chapter 9. We're gonna be all over the Bible this morning. We're gonna talk about what Jesus has to say about moving forward. We're gonna check out the Apostle Paul and find out how he moved forward. We're gonna go back to Exodus and find out how they moved forward. And then I wanna bring it home from the book of Jeremiah and how we can emotionally move forward. So Luke 9, verse 62, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. It says, Jesus responded, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, why do you keep looking backward to your past and you have second thoughts about following me? When you turn back, you're useless to God's kingdom realm. Let me say one quick thing about that. Jesus was never implying that people were useless, ever. There's no part of his message that says people are useless. If that were true, he wouldn't have died on the cross for me and you. So let's throw that thought out. What he was implying was very simply is the kingdom of God that stands before you right now, whatever excuses you and I can come up with, we have no idea how big the goodness of God can be in our life if we follow him. See, he had encountered in that moment several people who loved the benefits of what they saw. They saw Jesus moving and shaking, casting out demons, healing the sick, massive crowds. They loved all the bennies. They loved all the benefits, but man, wait a minute, I have to give up something to get something? And Jesus is saying, don't look backward. It's time to move forward. They were face to face with familiar. What if the normal that you and I knew, a question, what if the normal that you and I knew, what if that normal, there's a new normal that he's leading you into? And it's uncomfortable, but you love familiar. And God is saying to us, let's take a look at what was normal and repurpose. The Apostle Paul, he was the epitome of understanding shelter in place. The perhaps arguably the greatest and one of the greatest figures of the generations, the Apostle Paul, outside of Jesus. He too understood shelter in place and quarantine. He was under house arrest many times, multiple times. Some conditions so awful, as my grandpa used to say, it'd make a billy goat puke. It was awful. He was in bad, bad circumstances. And yet the Apostle Paul in Philippians 16 times talks about joy in the midst of circumstances. He was under house arrest. Acts 28 tells us that he was under house arrest when he wrote the book of Philippians. And he had to leverage what currently was and what is to what was. Now think about it if you're Apostle Paul. You have raised the dead. You've seen these amazing, you've seen healings. You've seen massive amounts of people come to Christ. You've seen all of this breakthrough. And he's having to go back and think about this, what was and where he currently is. I imagine he had thoughts of being discouraged while in quarantine. In fact, the scripture is clear, even in 2 Timothy at a later date, under his second time being arrested. He wrote 2 Timothy and he said, man, I'm really lonely. I really need people. I feel so sheltered here. Where are my people? I mean, I got to go back to what was. And here's what he says. He says, Philippians 3:13 says this, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Paul had his struggles, and yet he immediately talks about joy in the midst of every circumstance. I imagine some of you probably have had time to think about things from your past. I think about as I was looking back at my old yearbook picture, the graduating class of 1990, Dripping Springs, Texas, Go Tigers. I remember some of the quotes that people came up with back in the day, and many of it was creating great, great moments. I'm thinking about the 2020 seniors this year and kind of what they're facing, both in college and high school, and I'm hearkening back to the days when I was a graduating senior. And I can think about this. What if those days, playing baseball, football, all the relationships, if I'm always looking backward to what was, and those were the glory days, I can stay stuck even in my past successes when God is saying, press on, reaching for what lies ahead. How many of you have had a place and space and time that was so brilliant, it's not your past failures that you're meditating on, it's your past successes. And those past successes can actually become a prison of your mind in moments like this because your vision for what is to be isn't as strong as where you are now and what was. But God is saying very, very clearly to all of us, what is your definition of normal, Ryan? Because we all love normal because normal is familiar. Paul was in this place where he could partner with the mindset of God and actually see beyond what he saw to pull from an external reality in heaven and bring it here into the moments. That's why he could say over and over and over again, while under house arrest, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. That's not normal. That's supernatural. Maybe some of you at home have had time to reflect on your past failures, but Jesus is saying, don't look back. The kingdom's advancing. See, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm right in your midst. Can you not perceive it? Paul had his struggles. He brought in friends to encourage him. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, man, I'm feeling alone. Now, let me just stop right there. I want to speak to some religious mindsets. Let me just stop right there. The church is supposed to be a place of emotional safety. I want to be real clear. The Apostle Paul, who penned half the New Testament, who was a man on fire, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, moving with passion, purity, and power. This man wrote for us to ever see that he was lonely and felt a little discouraged, and he asked Timothy to hook a brother up and send somebody to visit him. If he could get real and honest about his emotions while in quarantine, ladies and gentlemen, you have permission to be honest about how you feel while you're in quarantine. And yet, the Apostle Paul kept one compelling focus in mind. He said, I'm going to reach on, pressing on, reaching for what lies ahead. Talked to a ministry friend of mine out of state and gave him a great word this week about what I felt like God was doing in their ministry. And they've had enormous success, and they're in a place of transition. And I just encourage them, keep on, get that vision, write it down, make it plain. Something we talked to you about a couple of weeks ago in the waiting room. You can go back and watch that message. This is what God's speaking to us. If you're bored, get pregnant, not with what your current situation is, but where God is taking you. And he's going to open doors that no man can shut. But what you think is abnormal, God is saying it's a place of your future success. Walk through that door. Walk through the door. It's time to think forward, not backward. Let's not reminisce constantly over what was. Let's not consistently meditate in what currently is. And let's not partner with the uncertainty of what is to come. Let's follow Jesus and advance his kingdom. And Jesus will speak to you and I personally about what that vision is for each of our lives. And he'll give you the how-to every step of the way. His mindset, the Apostle Paul, was normal, because the normal Paul once knew wasn't the normal God was leading him into. He didn't wake up one day and go, after blowing up Corinth and seeing astonishing miracles, he didn't wake up one day and go, man, I can't wait to wake up in jail in Rome and pen the New Testament. He wasn't thinking that. No, his one thing, his one aim was to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 3 tells us very, very clearly to know him and the power of his resurrection. And the sufferings that come with advancing the kingdom pale nothing in comparison to knowing him. Knowing that you and I are free of sin, we are free of the bondages of the past, we're free of the labels, lids, limitations that we've placed upon ourselves and others try to place upon ourselves. No, no, no. One thing I do, I press on. I reach for what lies ahead. I'm a continual grower. I will not stop. I'm a relentless grower. I'm maturing in Christ daily. Not only is that my confession, Paul says, this is who I am, and everything else is rubbish. Knowing him brings about the obedience response that religion tries to enforce on people and enslave people with. Knowing him is a fruit. The fruit of that is obedience. Let me flip this. I just want to say this real quick. Some of you are trying to obtain by works what Jesus paid for you by grace. Let me say that again. You cannot earn by your own merit anything on this planet. Only Jesus and his work for you on your behalf can get the job done. And then when you say yes to his free gift of salvation, which is more than just going to heaven, it's actually leading you forward. When you say yes to that, like that disciple, that potential disciple said to him in Luke 9, had that man partnered with that, Jesus would have blown his mind with the realities of the kingdom. Let me ask you, what's stopping you from advancing you? What's stopping you from going forward? What excuses maybe do you make? I know, I'm pretty good at making excuses. I've done it my whole life. And Jesus in his grace has come at me one loving exhortation at a time to say, yeah, right here, keep moving forward, Ryan. Don't look at all of the things you're not. Start walking into the things that I've called you to, and you'll discover who you really are. So even while your circumstances say, man, I feel stuck, you can move forward. See, faith looks forward. I want you to go to Exodus 14. Let me set this up. Back in the Old Testament, in fact, I preached a message called Waymaker couple of months back. But it's the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And they had been in slavery for 400 years. Talk about quarantine. Talk about shelter in place. Talk about, you think you may have some issues with some of the government things that are being made today. Can you imagine being under the thumb of a Pharaoh who not only enslaves you and works you like a taskmaster to the point of death, but then puts quotas on you to build bricks and makes you go and get your own straw to do it and consistently escalates the bondage and the slavery? See, pharaohs that they were under in Egypt, pharaohs are a form of fear. Pharaohs are a form of fear. And they were under the thumb of Pharaoh for centuries. And then one day, God sends a deliverer, Moses, confronts Pharaoh, which is something, that's a word for somebody. There's someone at home right now. There's a Pharaoh that you need to confront. And maybe you don't feel like a Moses who can say, let my people go. But remember, Moses was just the mouthpiece for the living God to move on behalf of his people. You show up and he'll show up. You show up and stand before Pharaoh and your God will stand on your behalf. God delivers them out of Egypt and they're on the run and they're at the Red Sea in Exodus 14. And in this place, this is where God does something extraordinary that speaks to you and I going forward. They're between a sea and a Pharaoh who's on their heels. They're between a rock and a hard place. And they're looking for leadership. And Moses is like, okay, I can't play by what I see. I need to go to the unseen realm to make a maneuver here and pivot. And here's what the people say to Moses. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, don't fear, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he's going to accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians from whom you've seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Get to work and tell the sons of Israel to do what? To go forward. To go forward. This was a generation that grew up never having enough. See, God was not just trying to get them out of Egypt. He was trying to get the Egypt out of them. And in order to get the Egypt out of them, they couldn't look back. They had to move forward. But all they were used to was normal. And normal was never enough. They never had enough. They were trained and steeped on two words, never enough. They were traumatized by never enough. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough clothing. They didn't have enough fellowship. They never had enough. And God was saying, in order to go forward, you had to confront the pharaohs. Fear is a pharaoh and it must be confronted. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe that pharaoh that they were complaining about for centuries, maybe that boss, that person or that person of authority, maybe they've had a tremendous amount of control over you. And the idea of moving forward is so traumatizing to you, you don't want to take a step towards the Red Sea because at least Pharaoh is familiar. I mean, heck, after all, I may have to get a few beatings here and there, but at least I don't have to die in the place of uncertainty. Isn't that travesty? That's just a travesty that people will choose uncertainty. They will choose pharaohs over uncertainty, the fear of losing the familiar. They would rather go back to a place of bondage than to step into a new and promised land. See, sometimes our promised lands come disguised. They come disguised because we have to look at what is normal and decide that God is doing a new thing, and what we called normal, God's calling us into a new normal. And we hesitate because we don't want to let go of familiar. I'm thinking of young people right now. I'm thinking in my mind's eye right now. Maybe you're a high school senior. Maybe you're a college student. And you're looking at this whole COVID-19 situation, and you're watching how your parents are handling it. You're watching how your friends are handling it. You're making observations that you literally could base their destiny around for the next 20 years based on how people are handling it. You're dealing with your own cognitive fears about what's happening. You're finding the bubbles inside of you that are coming to the surface that you don't necessarily like. I want to send a clear and present message to the young generation, and that's this. Risk it. Advance the kingdom. Don't pay attention to the voices of the familiar that want to keep you under the thumb of Pharaoh. Step into your destiny and take the risks, regardless of what the voices around you say. You take out the risks. The government is not your source. Pharaoh is not your source. Other people are not your source. There is one source, and that's Jesus Christ. And he says, hey, follow me. Don't look back. Don't look back at your parents' mistakes or your parents' parents' mistakes. Don't look back. The only way I want you to look back is to learn from it. Learn from history so that you won't be doomed to repeat it. I'm calling you into a new thing, but in order to do that, I'm gonna take you through a place you've never seen before and be willing to step into a place of supernatural abundance that you couldn't see until you take a step, because faith steps forward. Somebody online say forward. What were you praying before all this hit? Maybe before all this hit, you were like, I'm so tired of all the lines in restaurants. And how many of you right now that were praying, man, it'd be great to just not have to have traffic. Maybe you're in another city watching us. Green Bay doesn't have traffic. I'm sorry, but we don't. We don't have traffic here. Go to Chicago. That's traffic. But maybe some of you are watching online. You're like, man, what I wouldn't give to go back to what was familiar, to go back to the good old days. The way it was. Why? Because it's familiar. I'd love to go back to church from the good old days, back when people gathered in a church building. I'd love to go back to 1950. I'd love to go back to the Azusa Street. Let me just tell you something. Those were great old days. But ladies and gentlemen, God is doing a new thing. And I can talk right into that TV camera, and I can talk to Uganda, the Ukraine. I can talk to the Congo, translated. I can talk to places and bring the message of Jesus in ways that can be transported that back in 1950, they never thought possible. Home churches coming alive by the power of teaching through one word, through a glass tube, and people can get more connected than ever. And yet, at the same time, the very thing that we once held against people, which was these little phones and devices that seem to always captivate people's attention, now can be a source of liberation based on how we partner with God and we move forward. It's all in our choices and in our attitudes on how we embrace change. What is God doing in your life? Would you rather be dead in Egypt than alive in uncertainty? God's always doing a new thing that isn't normal. But when we're in fear, negative can feel normal. And it's easy to reach for the negative right now. If you go online, you can find negative, right? You can find that. It's there. It's available. But when you feed your focus on what the God of the universe is saying and what he said in the Bible, and when you feed on what he's saying and when you feed on what he said, something begins to transform in you. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. And that transformative faith, the more you feed on it and you starve the other stuff, you begin to get the Egyptian mindset out of you and you advance forward. And now Red Sea's parting looks reasonable. It looks reasonable. And your human reasoning takes a backseat to divine reasoning. And that's the renewed mind that God wants a new normal for you and I to step into. See, what were the things you used to pray about that you wanted changed? And now that it's changed, you want to go back to what was. I feel like that's a word for somebody. Can I give a positive thought to someone at home? Constraints and crisis can become the cradle of innovation. I've watched it here in our church. Constraints can become the cradle. Constraints and crisis can become the cradle of innovation. I've watched our team pivot. I've watched our team pivot in extraordinary ways. We had to work one way prior to COVID-19 to reach people. Now we're learning all new territories. Our team is exploring all new terrain digitally that we never did before. Why? Because crisis becomes the cradle of innovation. Ryan, time to move forward. You thought that was a curse, but it's actually a blessing. Walk through the Red Sea and watch me work my wonders. That's because I press on. Our team is pressing on, reaching for what lies ahead. Are you holding on to something from the past? Are you holding on to a process that was worked for a day, but it's a new day, and God's saying that process and that mindset, that was reserved for that day. It's time to let that process go. In fact, are you holding on to something from the past that God wants to put out of business? Learn how to refine your focus and see what Jesus is doing. Just because you haven't seen it before doesn't mean God isn't advancing. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not normal. It can be normal, but familiar is all you knew. Familiar is all you knew, but it can be normal. In Jeremiah, this is probably my first close. In Jeremiah, the weeping prophet that they call him in the Old Testament, these same people who came out of Egypt, that God got the Egypt out of them so they could move forward, the past. They had times of incredible celebration, but they also had times of significant and extraordinary backsliding. We're no different at times. We take 5 steps forward, maybe 3 steps back. Happens to the best of us. But Jeremiah is weeping. He's weeping because his people have lost their way. They put their resources and their sources into everything but the one that is all they need, and that's the Lord. And in Jeremiah 8, he's prophesying about this balm, this healing balm. They're going backward. They need to be healed. And in Jeremiah 8, they're emotionally and physically spent. And in Jeremiah 8, he's prophesying. And he asks the question to his people. He says, hey, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored? This was to God's covenant people. And he's asking them, hey, of course there is healing in Gilead. See, there was this balm, this resin, that they had healing properties that everyone knew about. Everybody knew about. Kind of like in America, most people know who Jesus is. They know the story. Is there no Jesus in America? Of course there is. Is there no physician? Yes, there is a physician. Well, then what gives? Jeremiah speaks to the Egyptians in chapter 46, and he says to people outside of the covenant, he says, go to Gilead and obtain this balm, O virgin daughter of Edom. In vain you have multiplied remedies. There is no healing for you. He's speaking to a people that's looking for love in all the wrong places, that is more obsessed with online self-help gurus than the one who created them. The simplicity of the gospel of Jesus is simply this: you can't, he did, and he wants to empower you to not just stay from where you were and not to be content with what is, but to press on reaching, taking the kingdom and taking it to the nations. We are not called to sit in a mindset of quarantine. We are not called to have an Egyptian mindset. We are called to transform the world. And the way we do that is that we go to Gilead and we seize by faith the balm of Gilead, the healer, Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected from the dead, to bring the healing balm to our hearts. We take it by faith. And we give up all the other remedies that we think are going to make us better. The 401ks, the self-help gurus. Nothing wrong with self-help as long as Jesus is the one helping the self. Even our brilliant leadership talks. Great, but where does that come from? It all comes from him, and in him is where the healing is. And God is saying to us, Netflix won't heal you. In your isolation, move into consecration. And when you move into consecration in that isolation, I'm going to give you revelation. And when you get that revelation, you won't have condemnation. And that condemnation, when it goes aside, you're going to step in to a place of the kingdom that you've never seen before, because that's normal. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. But you have to seize the balm of Gilead. The balm of Gilead. See, what God reveals, he heals. I love what my wife said last week. She said, what God reveals, he heals. I wrote that down. Maybe you should write that down. What is God revealing in you that needs healing in you emotionally? Are you so stuck in the past, you're paralyzed in the present, and you have no vision for the future? God is saying, you don't have to call negative normal because it's what you know. I've got a place of deliverance for you going forward that will blow your mind. Leaving Egypt into the new, never going back to the familiar, and moving into a new freedom. And I will never see Pharaoh torment me again. And that's how I want to close. You will never see that Pharaoh again. You will never see that Pharaoh again. How do I know? Some of you may know my story. I was an everyday drunk, got delivered from that. Been sober over 20 plus years. How did I do it? One day at a time. But the power to overcome did not come from my own free will or my superior moral ingenuity. No, it came from the balm of Gilead. I only had one remedy. It's Jesus Christ, and that's it. And he soothes the soul sickness that only you and I can go to for him to empower us, to forgive us, and to relieve us of all of those afflictions. Where is God calling you to move forward? Where are you calling normal? Are you paralyzed by fear to move into the new because it's familiar? I feel it very strongly. There are people in certain relational situations, God is calling you to say, wait a minute, I didn't call you to codependence on them. I didn't call into codependence on a Pharaoh. I called you to get your eyes on me. And when you make a decision to follow me and to get on down the road with me, like Luke 9 talks about, and go forward, I'll handle the rest. But even if you're like Paul under house arrest, you're still advancing the kingdom, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Don't be impressed with what you see. Be impressed by what he sees. He'll bring that balm to heal every circumstance. You're not exempt from trials, but you are exempt from being under the thumb of a Pharaoh in those trials. Fear must be confronted if you're to move forward. And when you do, you will see God part Red Seas. I want to pray. And we're going to, just in a second, take a missions offering. I want to hear from Pastor Dennis, but I want to pray for you right now. If you're home online, this is one of the most important moments of our service. And that's this. Heard about Jesus? Everyone's talked about him. I've even heard people say, he can heal my soul. He can heal my disease. He can heal me physically. He can heal me emotionally. I've heard that. That's preached good for years. It's kind of swirled around me, but I'm so stuck in the familiar. Ryan, I don't know how to get out of that. I don't even know how to say yes to Jesus. Well, here's what you can do. You can say real simply, Lord, I'm going to let go and let you. I'm going to receive you by faith, even if I don't feel it, because faith isn't a feeling. Faith is the atmosphere of bringing heaven to earth and saying, I'm forgiven even when I don't feel like it. I'm not defined by my past choices, my foul-ups, my bleeps, my blunders, my current circumstances I'm dealing with, but I'm going to deal with it by partnering with the Balm of Gilead, Jesus Christ, who is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And by faith, my options have changed. Pharaoh is done. I'm going to confront what I need to do, and I will never find a battle with that particular Pharaoh again. And I'm telling you, it's true, all of it. I still have battles every day in some capacity, the battle of the mind. But what I can tell you is I've had victory and victory and victory, going from glory to glory. Sometimes there's hell in the hallway, but there's glory to glory. You will not face that particular Pharaoh in that frame of time, in that space and grace. You will not face that Pharaoh again. He's taking you out into your promised land. Amen. I want to, just for a second, we're going to receive communion. I want, for just a second, for you to consider partnering with Elevation Missions. And the way we are operating right now, we have both local, national, and international groups that we come alongside and partner with. And Pastor Dennis Nonnemacher is in charge of streamlining our missions operations. And so we have some opportunities that he would like to share with you that I'd love for you to consider getting behind. And then after Pastor Dennis is done, we're going to finish with communion. So stay with us.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Elevation Church on Mission Sunday, that one Sunday of the month when we bring an outside-the-walls point of interest related to missions. This Sunday, we want to bring two points of interest to you. First is that Manna for Life, located right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, is handing out food and necessary items to those in need right now during the virus pandemic. And if you have a few minutes to spend, you could help pack food or pack necessary supplies. They could use your help. That too is missions. Just get in touch with Manna for Life or wander over there on University Avenue and then tell them you heard about their needs from Elevation Church online. The second point of interest today, we bring you some information from Nepal. Our good friend there, Paul, and his wife, Bwana, minister to the poor who live on the street, children, widows, those in desperate needs. They provide food, water, clothing, and even education to those people. They also work in the very most remote villages in the Himalaya Mountains and bring the same sort of encouragement and provide for needs there. Right now, they're going through a really desperate time during this virus pandemic. Let me read something from an email that I just received this week from Paul. He says, we've been on lockdown now for 28 days and still have one more week, but the government is trying to add more days because the virus is attacking more and more people. Most people are now suffering from hunger. They have no food because of all of the offices, stores, factories, and businesses are closed. Please pray for these people. We are feeding the homeless and the slum kids. We can't gather in big groups, so we cook food, then call them one by one to our location, and we give them food for the kids and to the widows. We are giving clean water as well, masks and hand sanitizer when we can provide it so they can survive in this very difficult time. Everything is very expensive and very hard to get right now. Very few shops are open, but sometimes they are in the morning or in the evening for a few hours. Most of the people have no food, no clean water. Thank you so much. Yesterday, we gave out 30 bags of rice and salt and soap to the widows who have children, as they have the greatest need. and have had no food in the last 5 or 6 days. They can now survive at least 1 month. People are able to survive through our help. We are also praying for you. Thank you, Paul. You know, in Green Bay, we're going through a lot of inconvenience. I don't know about you, but I am. My whole routine has changed. But when I need food, we can run to Walmart, Costco, Woodman's, or someplace handy, and we can buy food. I have not been starving for 5 or 6 days, and I doubt very much if there's anybody else that has. Surely we're inconvenienced, but people in third world countries like Kathmandu are actually suffering without clean water, suffering without medication, suffering without food for days on end. But our friend Paul is providing food, clean water, medications, and everything else that he can get his hands on, both in the slums of Kathmandu for the street kids and for the widows with children. And he's also reached out to some of the remote villages with the same. We'd like to help Paul, and we've already sent him funds to purchase all these things. We want to send him more if we can. So if you'd be interested in helping out, just go to our website and click the little button that says give, or send us a check. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
I want to thank you so much, Pastor Dennis, for your compassion. He has a real heart for the nations, as our house does, as well as our local leaders that need your help. And Manna for Life is a great organization that is meeting human need, and they need your help. So we will try to continue to encourage people. Part of our vision is to come alongside other organizations, churches, parachurch organizations, city leaders. We want to advance the kingdom. Elevation doesn't have to be the source of all things. He's the source, and we'll partner with what he's doing. So if you feel led, please consider sowing into local, national, international missions, some of the opportunities that were presented there, as well as maybe even bringing some physical help to those situations, obviously here locally. All right. With further ado, Pastor Aaron, last week you gave a phenomenal message on learning how to partner with third realm realities. And I think today, as we receive communion and you do so at home, often we ask how. You talked about last week about letting the fruit mature. And I felt like to dovetail off what you said was that when we move forward, even while we're in the waiting, Paul being under house arrest, he took communion in his own way. Even if he had some really nasty bread, who knows what. But the man was relentless in advancing the kingdom, not looking back, and partnering with a third realm reality. Could you speak, as we take communion, could you speak to someone at home who may be going, yeah, Ryan, it's great that you're going forward and you got the power of God to help you in those areas, but I don't feel like I can do that. What would you say to them as we take communion?
Well, it's actually funny that you bring that up, because I was meditating on what our communion should look like today. And I kept being reminded of a Catholic priest, actually, that was a teacher in the university where I did my undergrad. And he just left this indelible mark on me. And he kept using this phrase. He said, communion is medicine. And he'd say it over and over again throughout the course of the year. Remember, communion is medicine. So anything that stood against other people being able to receive communion, that was always his response. Communion is medicine. And I think there's something about when we actually receive communion, there's a spirit realm shift that happens, just like we talked about last week, that will bear fruit in you. So even as we receive communion today, I think there's a prophetic significance in that. And as we receive the bread together, the place that I was led was, if communion is medicine, then if you have some sort of a weakness in your body, something physical going on, we actually want to receive communion in a way that postures our heart to receive healing. Now, whether this is instantaneous or whether this is over time, if communion really is medicine in some very real sense, this is receiving it in that direction. So as we take the bread together right now, what I'd like you to do is just be really real and vulnerable with Holy Spirit. If there's stuff that your physical body isn't doing that you want it to do, receive communion, receive the bread, the body. Remember, he was broken for you. There's healing in the atonement. Receive that bread portion of the communion almost as a declaration that your healing is coming. Amen.
That's a good word. You know what I also heard while you were saying that? I don't know if you remember the old Blockbuster videos. That may have been before your time. But I can remember once upon a time, and I mentioned earlier that sometimes crisis and change, innovation comes, it's the cradle. You know, it's the cradle of innovation. How many of us years ago would have thought Netflix and streaming services would happen while we were going into our Blockbuster videos saying, please be kind, rewind. And I'm sure some of your young people are like, what did you rewind? But that's how God is always advancing the world that we live in. And I just want to encourage somebody that that bread is also for the healing of our minds too. And that limitations are shattered. Somebody out there thought something new, and I feel like God is releasing something with the taking of that bread. I actually believe right now there are people getting creative ideas and partnering with the waiting room to write that vision and make it down. There are people out there who will catch this. Get pregnant with that. Amen. You want to lead us in the blood there?
Definitely. And sort of the direction I was going with the cup too was, if you're feeling stuck, or if you're feeling shame, or if that voice that says that you're not good enough, or you'll never make it, or things are just going to get worse, that fatalism thing that says that no matter what I do, it's not good enough, that voice has been around, his death, his blood shed on the cross means, in part, you don't have to listen to that voice anymore.
Come on.
That reality is broken, and there is healing for wounded spirits. There's healing for wounded souls, wounded thinking, and there's healing I'd go even further than healing. I would say there's protection from those voices coming under the cover of the new covenant that he made in his blood. Like, the enemy does not have the access to you that you think the enemy does. That's for somebody listening. You've been hearing those voices constantly, and I believe that as you receive communion, there is a healing reality that's going to come into your mindset and going to come into your spirit that makes it so the enemy doesn't get to have the voice in the place that he once did. That sounds like good news,
that's
doesn't it?
Very good news.
So let's drink to healed souls, healed spirits, and divine supernatural protection provided under the new covenant in his blood. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron. You are fit for the kingdom. I started with that scripture in Luke 9. Somebody out there was thinking, man, I guess I'm just not fit. Listen, Jesus measured up so that you and I didn't have to. We can't. He measured up. You are fit for the kingdom. The kingdom is all around you. You can take that kingdom. It's your inheritance. So I just decree and declare over you that you are fit for the kingdom, that Jesus and his realities are more present to you than could blow your mind. And stop partnering with religious voices of the do more, behave more gospel. There is no gospel. You can't behave yourself into the kingdom. You can't. He did it all. It's his grace, not your works. We work from his grace. We work from his favor. We don't work for his favor. We don't work for his grace. And when we begin to do that, we confront our pharaohs, and we move forward in astonishing ways. The Apostle Paul was under house arrest, but he also penned half the New Testament that is affecting us to this day. What can God do through you while you are in the waiting? We love you. If you have a prayer request or a testimony, we want to hear it. Send us online. You can go to elevationchurchwi.com. Click on either one of those options, prayers and testimonies, that we want to hear from you and connect with you. Don't forget Monday Night Live, Equip Night with Pastor Aaron. Pastor Rick Pedersen will be joining me on Monday Night Live. And of course, don't forget about our e-kids and all the great things that they do online for you. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.